It's my pleasure to stand before you today and introduce to you a very dear friend of mine. Several years ago, we had the opportunity to invite Steve Christie to join us to speak about his book, Not Really Of Us. And it was a wonderful opportunity to learn more about the research that's being done concerning why children that grow up in the faith seem to drop out of congregations and church life, and sometimes even walk away from the Lord entirely. As we began talking, as we prepared for that, Steve and I discovered that we had a lot in common. Our background was very similar. We both come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, and both of us have moved into the radical Reformation ideas. And more importantly, we got along as friends. We continued to sit down, and after Steve spoke here, we decided that God might have something else in store for us. And so every few months or so, we'd get together for lunch, and we'd talk. What do you think God might be doing next? About 6 months ago, we began to discuss the idea of doing something for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Our original ideas were changed quite radically over that 6 months. And today we bring you something that has been prayed over for months. It has been discussed. We can probably share the information in our sleep. And to our spouses, we apologize if we have. But what we've looked at is the fact that Luther was the starting point and not the finishing line for any of us. And that even today, there's more Reformation work to be done in the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't want to say any more because I don't want to step on anything that Steve has to say. So right now, if you'd give a warm First Baptist welcome to Steve Christie as he steps forward to share some information about Martin Luther and the Reformation. Steve?
Blessings.
Warm invitation. Thank you very much, Pastor Dan, and I have to agree with him that your pastor is a very dear friend of mine that we've developed this friendship over the last few years. He's not only a brother of Christ, but a very dear, loving friend, and I want to thank all of you for giving me the opportunity to speak on really this very historic anniversary that we're all privileged today to be passing through, because it is a very significant and very special time in our history, the 500-year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. I mean, just to put it in perspective, our country, the United States of America, has only been around for 241 years. That seems like a long time. The Reformation has been around for more than twice that, and it's still going strong in the church today. On October 31st, 1517, a German Augustinian monk named Martin Luther submitted his 95 theses to Albert of Brandenburg, the Archbishop of Mainz, Germany, which Luther later nailed to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany, which gave birth to the Protestant Reformation. Luther's 95 theses were later copied and distributed by Johann Gutenberg's printing press, which made possible the precise and rapid creation of metal movable type in large quantities, something that was unavailable and therefore impossible to do prior to the Reformation. In fact, the Gutenberg Bible was the first major book printed using mass-produced movable metal type in all of Europe. Luther and later reformers across Europe would use the printing press to print the Bible in the common language to the people so they could read the Word of God for themselves. In fact, today, Luther's 95 theses are permanently engraved in the door of All Saints Church, today known as Castle Church, as a memory of the event. Luther did this because he had a serious, genuine, and deep conviction and belief that only Christianity was true and that the Bible is the inspired, inherent word of the living God, which is the sole source of Christian theology and how God expects a person to believe and to live. There were five specifically biblically based doctrines that Luther and the other reformers believed defined the Christian faith, also known as the five solas: sola scriptura, or scripture alone; sola fide, or faith alone; sola gratia, or grace alone; solo Christo, or Christ alone; and soli Deo gloria, to the glory of God alone. These five solas were the spiritually or scripturally based foundations of Luther and the other reformers, based solely on the Word of God, which came from our Lord. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to focus mostly on the first two solas, sola scriptura and sola fide. Solo gratia, solo Christo, and soli Deo gloria will be discussed immediately after the service during our Sunday school presentation during our question and answer session. Sola scriptura, or scripture alone, is the biblically supported principle that all traditions, dogmas, rituals, doctrines, and interpretations of scripture cannot exceed, add or take away from, nor contradict scripture, which is supported from the very beginning of the Bible all the way through to the last page of it. In other words, allowing scripture to interpret scripture, not an individual's or even a particular church's personal understanding of what it means. This means that our sole source of truth is based on God-breathed scripture, not ourselves, our government, our societal norms, our media, or even our church, particularly if they conflict with God-breathed scripture. When Jesus was praying to God the Father on behalf of his disciples, he affirmed the ultimate authority of scripture when he cried out, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Now, from the very beginning of the Bible, such as passages written by Moses, like Deuteronomy 4:2, to the very last page of Scripture, such as passages written by the Apostle John, like Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, our Lord commands us over and over and over again not to add to nor take away from him and his word. In fact, when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, he affirmed the authority of Scripture when he told them, "Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" In other words, he was equating his words with written Scripture. Scripture as a sole authority was recognized by the Apostle Paul, which is reinforced by the common New Testament expression, "it is written," to refer to Old Testament biblical citations. In his book, The Gospel According to Paul, Pastor John MacArthur wrote, "The phrase 'it is written' is a formal appeal to the highest of all authorities, an explicit recognition that when Scripture speaks, God has spoken. The idea it conveys is this stands written as an eternal truth. In this expression, the tense serves to underscore the finality and continuing authority of Scripture as the unchanging and eternal Word of God." Sola fide, or faith alone, teaches that salvation is by faith alone and not of works, or even by our works cooperating with faith. Nor can our salvation be based on the work of anyone else. Faith is a gift from God, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Rome. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." However, later in 1546, the Catholic Church, in response to the Protestant Reformation, officially declared at the Council of Trent, "If anyone saith that men obtain of God through faith alone the grace of justification, let him be anathema," or let him be accursed or excommunicated. As of the 500-year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation this year, the Catholic Church has never recanted this declaration towards any Christian who believes in the sole authority of the God-breathed scriptural truth of being saved by faith alone, through Christ alone, based on Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. And this is largely due to a misunderstanding of Scripture by the church of what Luther and other reformers, and more specifically the Bible, meant by faith alone. However, the Reformation did have a reformed effect on the Catholic Church, which eventually accepted that a sinner is saved not simply by just grace, but by grace alone. In 1999, the Joint Declaration of the Doctrine of Justification by the Lutheran World Federation and the Catholic Church officially declared, "Together we confess by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving work, and not because of any merit on our part. We are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works." By declaring this, the Catholic Church actually validated one of the five foundational solas that define the Reformation, and by doing so affirmed that Luther and the other reformers were right. Now, immediately following the service, during our question and answer session, we'll be explaining what the reformers meant by sola gratia, or grace alone, in contrast to how the Joint Declaration understood it in 1999. But what did Luther and the reformers define as Scripture in terms of the Old Testament? Have you ever noticed that Protestant Bibles are smaller than Catholic Bibles? By what authority did Luther have to make that determination that some books in the Old Testament were not God-breathed, despite them being in the Bible for over 1,000 years? Now, for the sake of time, we'll be explaining Luther's authority from the New Testament, particularly from the words of the Apostle Paul, as well as from our Lord himself, in making that determination, again, immediately after the service, during our Sunday school, when we focus more on the historical aspects of the Reformation and how Luther and the other reformers did effectively reform the church, as well as the positive influence it had on society right up to the present age. On April 16th through the 18th, 1521, Martin Luther was summoned before the Diet, or the Assembly of Worms, before a General Assembly of the Holy Roman Empire in the city of Worms, Germany, regarding his various writings. Under the scrutiny of those present, Luther responded to his accusations with the following statement: "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the Scriptures. I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything. It is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. Here I stand. I can do no other. May God help me. Amen." Luther never recanted his faith. On February 18th, 1546, Martin Luther died at the age of 62, the same year that the Council of Trent started. He has been affectionately remembered by Christians throughout the world as the father of the Reformation. But the greatest contribution from Luther and the other reformers to the church and society was the recovery of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy: "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And to the church of Rome, Paul wrote, 'For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith.'" As we all reflect on the Reformation And all those men and women over the past 500 years who bravely reformed the church back to the authority of Scripture, which positively impacted both the church and our society, we should also reflect on how it impacts ourselves personally. If Luther was alive today, what 95 theses would Luther nail to your door? In what specific ways might we be elevating our own personal religious beliefs and traditions above the Word of God? It's not the job of the church to shape Scripture, but rather allowing the influence of Scripture to shape the church. So instead of us being brought to Luther, we need to bring Luther to us, whose authority was the Word of God, not himself. Thank you for allowing me the privilege to speak here on this truly historic event. May God bless First Baptist, may God bless everyone here, and may God bless the Protestant Reformation.